let's talk about what our job is. God's people have a next generation. There has always been that sentiment to it, that God's people has the next line of God's people coming along. While the earth remains, time will bring new generations of people, all people, to live out their lives. This is something interesting as you read and study God's Word. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 at verse 4, a generation comes and a generation goes. The earth keeps on going, remains the same throughout the ages. But just imagine all that the earth has seen and all that more properly that God has seen about the passing generations of men. You know, it's kind of interesting. A lot of things don't remain the same. Buildings wear out and cars wear out and, you know, different things change. Populations change over the course of time. Some things in life are like that, but there are a good many things related to God that's the same from generation to generation. And what we realize is 40 years from now, there'll be something just as true as it has been for our time and our generation. And these are generics in a sense, but they're very important generics. One is that in every generation, when my grandchildren are my age, Lord willing, if the old earth continues, God will still be on the throne. And He is ruler forever, and His throne lasts from generation unto generation. In every generation, God will be willing to show mercy to that generation if they seek it from Him and try to live right. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. The gospel that we've enjoyed, the gospel that we've loved and appreciated, will be there for the future. And God will allow it to continue on and to be taught. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. All in every generation who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, who've been baptized into Christ, all in those generations and all that are part of the Lord's church will go right on bringing glory to Almighty God. We looked at this scripture last night in Ephesians chapter 3, where he talks about there at verse 21 that to Him, to God, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. How wonderful is that? In all generations of man, we will know that God will be there and the church will be there. Sometimes it'll be big and sometimes it'll be little. Sometimes the gospel will be in season, sometimes it will be out of season. But here is the point. You can bring God the glory in the church. And it's so important for our younger folks to understand that if you want God to be honored, if you want to see Him respected like He ought to be, and bring Him the glory, then be part of the church. Serve God faithfully, and that probably speaking more generally of the church, but get with a faithful congregation of God's people and serve God faithfully and live out your life that way. The plans of God aren't going to change. Now, this is something important, and it's really important for our young people to understand. Nothing changes about God's law. Nothing changes about what God has said. The counsel of the Lord. Counsel can mean that which God has said is true and advised us to follow. The counsel of the Lord, the plans of His heart are there from generation to generation. Here's part of the problem. We live in a time where people are thinking that the generation has changed and now it's time to update truth. Now it's time to alter the laws of God, that they're not relevant to us anymore because all of that's changed. And we live in a new time now, and people kind of tend to think, well, things like living together and homosexuality and women preachers and all that, people tend to think God's law has changed some way or another. It has not changed. God's law stands from generation to generation. I'll tell you something else. God's love will be there for each new generation. No matter what the generation, people can see that God is a faithful God. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness will be there in behalf of all generations in the future. So, you know, those kind of things encourage me. It reminds me that long after I'm dead and gone, if the old earth continues, if the Lord has not yet come back, long after I'm gone, the Lord will continue on with the new generation. We hope there'll be a faithful generation. And that's kind of what this lesson is about tonight, to understand how we can help the next generation, what we can do for them. Really, it's a very solemn duty for us to train those who are younger than ourselves so that they can ultimately take over from us, that we can turn over the knowledge and the responsibilities of what the Lord's people do and what the church is like, and studying God's Word and understanding it. We must do this for the next generation. We must get ready to help and prepare them for that time when they will have responsibilities one day. Psalm 145 verse 4 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." One generation passes this information on to another generation. You might say tonight, well, they'll have the Bible, and they will. Lord willing, they'll still have ready access to God's Word, and it'll be in their hands, and they can study it for themselves. But what I'm talking about tonight is it's your solemn responsibility and mine to make sure that the next generation knows what God wants them to do. We can't force them to do it, but we can teach them what it is that God wants of them in days ahead. The 78th Psalm, verses 1 through 8. Listen to this, folks. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us." Let us tell you something, he's saying. Let us tell you something that our fathers told us about. We hope it's always that way, that our past generation passed on to us. Now we're going to pass it on ourselves. Look at what he says. "We will not hide these things from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. We will not fail." This is like a commitment. "We will not fail. We will not let a generation go by without telling them about the God that we serve. We will remind them of what he has done. We will remind them of his word. We will remind them of the miracles he's wrought. We will remind them of the teaching that he's given us and all the great things that he's done for us. This will be what we will do." Notice how he says, "We will not hide." Don't be guilty of hiding the things of God from your children. The most precious things in the universe are your children to you, and the most precious things in the universe are also the things of God, and we must give these to the next generation. We must give these to our children. We must give these to new Christians that come along. We must pass this information on. This is a duty. The passage goes on. That God established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers. Now listen to it. God appointed a law that he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. You know, one of the amazing things that is talked about in the Word of God, back in the days of the Old Testament, in the days of Moses even, where he talks about that, he's out there giving the law, and he talks about how you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength and all this, and how important that is. But right after he says this, he says, "You shall teach them diligently," these laws, "you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall pass this on." That word diligently is interesting. It means, it has to do with like you'd sharpen a tool, like you'd sharpen an axe or sharpen a knife. And what do we know about sharpening an axe or sharpening a knife? What do we know about that? You can do it, but you're going to have to do it some more later, aren't you? You can't sharpen it once. It'll get dull again. So it's always the process of sharpen and resharpen and sharpen again. in order to teach these things and make them known to our children, so that the generation to come, so catch what he said last, that we will make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope on God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. This is interesting. Now listen to how he said this. He said, you know, our fathers passed this down to us, and now we're not going to hide them from our children. We're going to teach this generation. But what he's interested in, we're going to make it known to our children so that in the generation to come. So my fathers told me these things. Now my generation knows them. I'm trying to pass it on to my children, and my children are going to pass it on to more children. Now I have 8 grandchildren, and those 8 grandchildren, I won't probably get to see a lot of what will happen in their lives. Another 20 years, I'll be in my 80s. I think that's right. Yeah, that doesn't sound right, but it's sadly true. And if I come back here every 10 years, I'm only going to be here 2 more times. So just get that in mind. That's been my history, is every 10 years. Okay? You used to be young when it all started. But think about my grandchildren, your grandchildren, and then they have children. And all of this, we won't even be here, some of us. We won't see that. But let me tell you a little story. It's just a family story. And this family story is my family. And my grandmother on the Jones side, her father and uncle were members of the church. And my grandmother was a member of the church. Now, I never saw any of her folks. You know, I only knew her, and I knew her really well. But I never saw them. But, you know, here's what I think about. What they were doing, sometimes kind of imperfectly, by the way, because they weren't as strong as many later were. But what they were striving to do in teaching my dad and explaining things to him, that has now had this amazing rippling effect. And it rippled down through my dad, and then it rippled down through me, and then it rippled down to our kids, and now it's rippling down through our grandkids. And I think what will happen in the next generation, I might not even be here. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is what somebody did back probably in the 1800s, what somebody did back then is having its effect upon my life today. And it's had an effect upon my children's lives and grandchildren. Now think about that. By the way, the story is almost identical with Carolyn. It goes back to grandparents and perhaps great-grandparents. And somewhere back there, somebody decided, you know, you got to wonder, did they ever realize that their decisions would affect generations to come? But the Bible often talks about the fact that it does. And it doesn't always work, and we understand that. And sometimes children depart from where they should. But the point is that it is our job to push this material information and truth on down so that the next generation and the next one gets to hear these things. Like he said, don't you dare hide this from your children and grandchildren. They deserve to know, they need to know, so that a children who have yet been born are going to hear and hear about why they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep the commandments of Almighty God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, he said, take care, keep your soul diligent, lest you forget the things that you have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Make them known. I find that interesting. I find it interesting that very often when you study about times when they were trying to restore God's people, or times when they, like in Moses' day, getting all this started, that God insisted that children be in the audience. You know, we got people today who think, yeah, they could all go out here and play and just mess around, you know, and have, you know, gymnasium and rock climbing walls, and just when they grow up, they can talk church, you know. But listen to me. God thought children needed to know. Some of the times that great men of God, like in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they would get up and they would talk about the law. That one of the things they'd say, have the children out there. Let them be there. Children are expected to be present amongst the teaching of God's Word. When parents, maybe that's a little different case, but when parents brought, when they brought their children up to Jesus and said they wanted Jesus to bless their children, He accommodated them. And the disciples of the Lord thought that was way, way too out of unimportant for the Master to be doing. And they went up and rebuked the parents and said, get away, don't waste the Master's time. He's here to teach and do all of this. And Jesus turned around and rebuked them and said, you suffer, or you allow the little children to come unto Me. Such is the kingdom of God. You don't deter them from coming unto Me. That doesn't need to mean that a little tiny child that doesn't know anything needs to, you know, obey the gospel and be baptized. But Jesus is making, He didn't turn little children away. He wanted little children to seek Him, know about Him, and understand Him, and appreciate who He was. And those are things we need to bring to pass in our children's lives. You know, go back and look about this. Now, Moses began getting ready for his death because God told him he would die. And Moses passed the need to be strong onto Joshua. He talked to him about this. He called Joshua, who would be his successor. Now, you might say, well, that's not his child. But see, I wrote this sermon to go beyond just talking about your children and grandchildren. You know, there's a sense in which, and I think we all feel this way sometimes, the children in the congregation, a lot of times in the new couples, the young couples and all of that, there's a kind of sense in which they kind of belong to everybody, you know. We all kind of feel special towards them, like we have a role to play in their lives. And Moses called Joshua and he talked to him because he would be leaving and he knew Joshua would face a big task. He says, be strong and be of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to your fathers to give them. You shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one that goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you, nor fear. Do not fear or be dismayed. Did you ever stop to think about how wonderful it would be as we get older, especially to sit our children down and say, you will have a job to do someday. You will have a work to do for the Lord. Don't be afraid. You be strong. You be of good courage. You're going to be working for the Lord. It won't all be easy. It's a big job. But the Lord will not leave you or forsake you. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Go on with the work of Almighty God. We can't be there with you, but we are going to talk to you about how that'll go. So, you know, this is how quick sometimes things go by in the Scripture. One minute it seems like Moses is preparing Joshua, get on out there and do the job because I'm about to die. You just read a few chapters, it seems like, and the next thing you know, Joshua's about to die, and he's talking to all of Israel about the same things. And what he says in Joshua 23 is Joshua called all of Israel and their elders and the heads and judges and all their officers. And he said to them, I am old. Just seems like Joshua got old like a lot of us gotten old, you know, just like that. Didn't take very long. I am old and I'm advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the one who has fought for you. Joshua wants them to remember this. Carry on with this. Remember what the Lord has done for you. He also reminded Israel, you're going to have to stay with God's law. Be courageous to keep all and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Lest you go in among the nations and these who remain among you. You may get there and they might start influencing you. So you be exceedingly careful not to depart from the law of Almighty God. Look, folks, good brethren, these are talks we need to be having with our kids, with our new converts, with all the rest, the next generation of people that'll be here for the cause of Christ. You be strong. You be steadfast. You stay with this. It's going to be a big job, but don't leave the law of God. You know, churches of Christ,
really most religious institutions also, churches back at, you know, more than 100 years ago, a lot of them left. A lot of them left the law of God. They went after worldly things. And a lot of that's happened over the years. In my father's day, they got in a lot of trouble for staying with the truth. And many of them had to go somewhere else and try to start all over. And a lot of brethren met back in those day and times in storefronts and buildings like that. They just had to go start all over again. They had to be strong. It was hard to do some of those things, but they were unwilling to go with liberalism and institutionalism and all of that and let it sweep them away. They were strong and steadfast. They had to be courageous. And they had to not allow false religious ideas to influence them. That could happen again. You may find that you'll have to be strong and courageous one day. You may find that you'll have to stand up and say and be counted for what's right. And like he says here, don't turn aside from what you see in God's Word. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Stay with the Word of God. Some guy that's popular preacher or, you know, really good speaker or something may get up there, but he might start advocating, turn aside. Let's do this instead of what we've been doing. Let's do that. Not all new plans are bad. What I'm saying is he might start talking about things and you look at that and you make the determination. Is that what the Scripture really teaches? Is that the pattern God set? And you don't go with it. You oppose it. If it comes up, you keep in line with what God's Word says. That's why you need to study it, get familiar with it, and know it well. Joshua also said that they were going to have to hold fast to the Lord. They were going to have to stay with this. I'm asking you, I said that the other night about from the book of Hebrews, that we have to hold fast. We have to stand our ground and stay with the Lord. He says over here in Joshua 23, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods. You shall not cause anybody to swear by them. You shall not serve them nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. Can I tell you why I was afraid? Because here they are in a land and still they're surrounded by nations who think terribly different from them. They are God's holy people, as we talked about the other night. They are a peculiar people. They are a distinct people. They are people for God's own possession. That's their job and that's their responsibility. And this is what they're there for. And Joshua is saying, you have to understand, you're going to get out there and be influenced by all of this, and it's going to be all around you. And that's going to be the moment you're going to wonder, do I need to start doing what they're doing? Do we need to start behaving like the people around us? Well, in a similar way, what do? We send our kids out into the world. There comes the moment when they have to live their lives, and they can't always live them just in our home or right around us. They have to go out. They have to be around the world. They have to face it. And it will be a world that the Bible says for the large part is crooked and perverse. That's going to happen. And there's always that chance that they could be influenced. So the great moment is that we are begging them, pleading with them, and exhorting our children and our next generation. Please hold fast to the Lord your God. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't let the world pressure you and turn you into something other than a child of God. David took his son Solomon aside and he cautioned him about things. He talks about this in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. And he took Solomon aside and he said, my son, may the Lord be with you and may you prosper. And you build the house of the Lord your God as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you'll keep the law of God, of the Lord your God. And then you're going to prosper if you will take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be dismayed. Isn't it interesting how many times from Moses to Joshua, now Joshua to the children of Israel, and then now David to Solomon, he has to say, be of good courage. Be strong, because it's going to be difficult. Don't fear.
Don't be dismayed, because God's going to go with you. God's going to help you. He will be with you if you will fear Him and follow His wisdom. You know, the prophet Joel talked about how he wanted all the future generations to know something. He wanted them to know about the day of the Lord. He said, tell it to your children, let your children tell it to their children, and their children to that next generation. For the day of the Lord is near. Now, whether Joel had another sense of the day of the Lord in mind, but I want to tell you something. I want my children and my grandchildren, and I want them to pass it on to their children. I want them to know that there's a judgment day. I want them to know there's a heaven and there's a hell. I want them to know that if they serve God, they will be saved and they will be in eternity with God. And I want them to know if they don't, they will be lost in a fire and brimstone and where the worm does not die, where they gnash their teeth and they weep night and day. That's what I want them to know. I want them to understand that. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want to scare my children. You can debate whether I want mine scared or not. Sometimes I think I would like to scare them a little bit. That's okay. I don't want them to fear God, maybe for wrong reasons, but hell's just not really, you know, it's one of those reasons we need to know about. And we need to get that this is serious, and we don't want our children to be lost. And they need to know about the day of the Lord that's coming for the end of time and what there is about it that we need to prepare for. Go into the New Testament, and Paul, who thought of Timothy like a spiritual son, that he talked to Timothy, and he passed on to Timothy, because now we're in 2 Timothy. Well, that's when Paul says, you know, that he felt like that he would soon die and that would soon be over. He says that in the last chapter. But he passed on to Timothy, don't be ashamed. There's something I want to pass on to my children. There's something I want to tell your children tonight and this younger generation of Christians. I want us to all remember we don't need to be ashamed of standing up for the cause of the Lord. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. God doesn't need timid soldiers. God doesn't need or want us to be filled with the spirit where we're afraid and we're scared and we're terrified of ever standing up for what's right. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of discipline. So, therefore, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, we've read, of Jesus, and don't be ashamed of His words, and don't be ashamed of the church, and don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of those who stand up for it. For Paul had stood up, and now he was a prisoner. He said, you join with me if it takes suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, then so be it. But stand up for what's right. Let us teach our children that in generations to come, perhaps sooner than we think, there could be some suffering, intense suffering for the cause of Christ. There could be some jobs lost because you won't endorse what your company believes. You won't follow and be politically correct about everything. You won't endorse sinful behavior. There will be possibility of that happening. There could be even the possibility of laws being passed that strives to cut us out and say, you know, you're not going to preach these things or come together and to study or talk about these things. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not a prophet to predict it. But here's what I'm saying to you tonight. Whether it's our generation or our children's generation or our grandchildren's generation, teach them not to be ashamed. Not to be ashamed of the gospel. Not to be ashamed of our Savior. Not to be ashamed. There's such a movement in Islam. They said it'll be the largest religion in the world in 20 years. I don't know if that'll happen or not. But right now their sentiment is, if you believe in the Christ, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you really don't deserve to live. I don't know that every Muslim believes that, but the ones that are true to their book do. Now here's kind of makes a scary proposition, doesn't it? That someday our land could be flooded with that so much that maybe to keep the peace, they say, we're not going to talk about this anymore. You churches, pipe down. Don't publish something online that says, what's wrong with that? Don't put a publication out that says that. I don't know. Again, I can't predict. But I don't like the way things are headed. And atheism, agnosticism is catching hold in people's heart. You just don't know what the future holds. Don't be ashamed. And we must pass that on to our next generation. Paul told Timothy. Now here's Paul, kind of the seasoned apostle and man now that's been with it for some probably 30 or more years. And now he's talking to Timothy as he's explaining to Timothy that, you know, it's he didn't think that he would get past his final imprisonment, that he, you know, he was ready. But what is he doing? He's passing on to Timothy. You know what he's saying to Timothy? Exactly what the theme of this lesson is. He said, therefore, my son, you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who they'll be able to teach others also. It is not simply, I'll get you ready, Timothy. It's telling Timothy, you get the next generation ready. I helped you. You get them ready. You pass it on. It's our duty. What I'm hoping you're coming away from tonight, you might not remember everything I say, or even all the scriptures I use, but I hope one thing you're understanding. We've got a very solemn responsibility to help the next generation know the truth. It involves a lot of different things, but helping them get it. Committing these things, think about that. Committing these things over to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Who needs to do this? Say, well, you said tonight, parents. Well, I like what Psalm 71 says. It talks about gray hair. And it says, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. If I'm going to live, don't forsake me, don't let me go until I've had the opportunity to tell another generation about the things of God and what they need to know in order to serve God. So who are we talking about? We're talking about parents, and they probably of all have the biggest responsibility. But guess what? We're talking about grandparents too. We're asking grandparents to take their wonderful and beautiful children, and several of you have implied that you have beautiful grandchildren too. I didn't know how that happened, but anyway, I said that earlier in the week. Turns out everybody's babies are pretty, pretty beautiful. Grandparents, you do the job. You say, well, that's their mom and daddy stuff. Grandparents, you do the job. Not take it away from them. I'm just saying, you contribute to this. You talk to them. You explain to them how important it is. You spend time with them. Play, have fun, influence their lives, but pass the truth onto them and why it's so important. They need to hear it from you. Elders of the church should want the next generation to know. They should teach and train and help the young people coming up and the young couples, help them to be ready to take over in days to come. Preachers certainly have a solemn responsibility to talk and to do in this regard. Bible class teachers, you know, what's exciting and interesting is that mothers and Bible class teachers are teaching little folks right now, and it's just amazing. It won't take very long to where they're big folks, and one of these days they'll have influence in the kingdom of God. You know, I just think about the fact you teach a Bible class of little children right now, and one of these days they'll be adults, and you will have had a part in molding them, forming their thinking, and helping them see the importance of God's kingdom. Older members of the church, you may think, well, I'm through. I've done all I need to do. No, not until you shut your eyes in death. You still got work in the Lord's church. Older members can be an encouragement. Older members can do a lot. And they can do a lot for the next generation. You know, little children are funny. They don't care too much that you look old. You know, my grandchildren don't hold that against me. that I'm older. They don't hold it against Carolyn. The simple fact is that a lot of times with just a little bit of introduction and attention, children love older people in the congregation. They love to have a relationship with them. You can use that to help them see how important all of this is. And then really and truly, all of us as Christians should think about what can we do for the next generation to make it a success. Can I tell you just real fast, and we'll spend a lot of time on this, about time to be through. What happens if we don't do our job? What's the prospect if we don't pass it on? Well, it'll be like the days of the judges, because it involves that they will start forgetting about God and then they will turn wicked. And all these good things that we enjoyed and the fruits of righteousness in our life, all of that will go away for them. All the generation it talks about in Judges who were gathered to their fathers, all that generation that had seen Joshua and knew Joshua and then even the next generation kind of held to it. But there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which He'd done for Israel. And that's when the sons of Israel started really doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. A whole generation, in effect, perhaps with a scarce few, a whole generation arrives and they don't know the Lord. We're kind of getting there. Not necessarily just with our own kids as much as the world. We're really getting close to the generation that doesn't know the Lord. And I want you to think, if they grow up without the truth, what's going to guide their lives? What's going to restrain them? What's going to help them? What's going to get through them through their troublesome times? What's going to influence them? And above all that, what's going to save their soul? What's going to happen to them when they know not the Lord? And there's so very few to call them back to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what else. Verse 14 goes on to say that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and He gave them over to plunderers. Their future was not good for many, many, many years. Another thing that happens during those kind of days is utter moral confusion. When people stop to know the Lord, when they no longer know the Lord, stop knowing the Lord, I should have said. Well, it's what is said twice in the book of Judges. In those days, there wasn't a king in Israel. Wasn't any guidance at all, anybody to direct them. And everybody just did what was right in their own eyes. That's where we are in the world right now. That's what's happening to the world round about us. Everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, which means absolutely no standard at all. They know not the Lord. They know nothing about the laws of God. They know nothing about what's right and wrong. They don't have that sense. They may have a moral platitude or two they follow, but by and large, they do not know these things. They don't know what's right, and that leads you to do what's right in everybody's own sight, do what they want to do, how they want to live, and that's a very, very, very destructive thing. That is going to be a chaotic society. And I don't get into all this tonight in a big way, but the whole thing about the days of the judges and why it's said about that is because that was one of the worst parts of Israel's history. That everything was going wrong. And there was mass crime and terrible crimes, the kind, sadly, you hear about today. All of that was going on, violence and awfulness, just terrible things happening. Well, that's what happens when you do what's right in your eyes, but you're not guided by the wisdom and will of the Lord. Destruction happens. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what destroyed means? It means to be cut off, to cease as a people, to perish, brought to silence, to be undone and cut down. We are dooming a generation to go there if we don't do our job as the people of God. And in regard to the people of God, if we don't teach them well, they may be religious, but they're going to lose their identity as God's people. What do you mean by that? Well, like in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, the church at Ephesus said, well, remember from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly, and I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. I will remove your identity. My light won't be there anymore. I will withdraw from that church. I will come to you quickly, and it will be gone. What will we be? We'll be a religious body, but we won't be the Lord's religious body. It will have come to an end, as we've witnessed over and over again in history. What's going to happen when we don't teach our children and prepare the next generation? Psalm 102, verse 18 says this, Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. We've talked some on and off this week about what our purpose is and why we're here. We're here to bring glory to God. We're here to honor the God of heaven and praise Him and show how important He is and let it be known among men. And He says, I want the next generation, a generation to come, a people, He says, that haven't even yet been created yet. A people who haven't come to the earth. They haven't been born yet. It's not yet happened. But I want that people to be able to praise the Lord like our fathers did. So I think again about, a grandmother that loved the Lord in her own imperfect ways, and I think about a father. I think about a father who rose above his times and said, I've got to find something that I can do and serve the Lord and give my life to Him. And then I think about my mother, that she was taught and did the same. And I think about Carolyn's parents and her grandparents and what they wanted for her and how it contributed and how our families joined at that point. And then we had children and how we want them to serve the Lord. And we've already witnessed some of our grandchildren being baptized now. And I pray Carolyn will bear me witness. It's with her. She and I sit down before bed every night. And we pray, please bless those grandchildren. And keep them well and keep them safe. But most of all, help them to know You, God. Let me influence in such a way that they will know You and serve You well. And nothing will make me any prouder, though I might not live to see it, but nothing will make me any prouder than to know that they would be serving the Lord when I'm in the grave. That's good. That's great. No greater joy than this, John said, than to know that my children walk in the truth. This is what is important to me, and I think to all the godly. God's people, the next generation, we have a job to do. Now, I'm not quite gone yet. I may be soon. I don't know about that, the Lord's timetable on those kind of things. But here's the thing. While we've got energy, while we've got time, while we've got influence, let's try to help that next generation. Let's do for them what we can and be proud knowing that one day they'll be serving the Lord. You've been so good to me this week, so complimentary, so kind, just to listen. And I thank you for it. Tonight, if you anybody here needing to obey the gospel and come forward and be baptized into Christ or be restored to the Lord, we welcome you and help you any way we can. If we have any questions, we'd be glad to try to answer anything that comes up. But let's be standing now and sing the invitation song and be finished.